Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we are getting into the real core engine of so many web applications, the Node.js event loop. It's all built on Chrome's V8 engine, and, well, it's how everything gets done.
It really is. Our mission today is to, you know, find a shortcut to really getting our heads around this thing. Yeah. What is it? How does it let apps scale massively? And this is the critical part. How is it different in Node versus in a browser? We need to go past the buzzwords.
Okay, let's just jump right in and unpack that. If Node is all about efficiency, why was the old way, you know, the traditional server model like in Java or PHP where every request gets a new thread, why was that so broken that Node needed this radical new idea?
It all comes down to resource overhead. I mean, in those traditional models, giving every single client their own thread or process just scales so poorly.
They're just so heavy, right?
Exactly. Threads consume a lot of memory, and all the switching between them creates this huge CPU drag. The moment you get to, say, a few thousand concurrent users, the whole system just grinds to a halt.
And that's the key. That is the fundamental difference. Node.js uses this event-driven architecture, and it's all built on non-blocking I/O. So the event loop is like a really smart traffic cop.
Uh-huh.
It lets the server handle all those connections with hardly any threads. And this isn't just a nice to have. It's absolutely mandatory for things like real-time chat or online gaming, anything that needs that split-second response.
Right. And the way it works is, well, the event loop is just continuously monitoring what's going on, and it's queuing up functions, callbacks to run.
Yeah.
But that brings up a really important question. How does it prioritize?
Yeah, because it's not just first in, first out, is it?
Not at all. And this is a huge gotcha. Many people assume it is, but it's not. The sources we looked at really highlight this. Microtasks, like promise callbacks, are always processed to completion before any macro tasks, which include I/O.
Okay, that has huge consequences. Let's zero in on that.
Yeah.
The loop actually has these specific stages it cycles through. It starts with timers, right? Checking for set timeout and set interval.
Yep, that's the first stop. But really, the bulk of the work, you can say, happens in the next phase, the poll phase. That's where it's grabbing new I/O events and running most of their callbacks.
And after poll, you have something called the check phase.
And that's just for set immediate callbacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really clever design, actually. It gives you a predictable place to run code right after the I/O polling is done. People get it confused with set timeout, but it's much more predictable.
And then finally, you have close callbacks for cleanup, like when a socket closes.
That's the cycle.
So understanding those phases is one thing, but if a developer gets it wrong, the whole non-blocking promise just, it falls apart. The biggest threat we saw mentioned was blocking the loop.
Oh, absolutely. It's the cardinal sin of Node.js development.
So how do you stop a really complex calculation from just freezing your entire application?
The best solution is just don't do it. You have to avoid long-running synchronous code on the main thread, use asynchronous operations for everything you can, and for the really heavy CPU work, that's what worker threads are for.
Because if that main loop gets tied up, everything stops. No new requests, no new events, nothing.
Nothing. Your latency goes through the roof. Another classic problem is, of course, callback hell. And related to that, memory leaks.
Callback hell, that pyramid of doom.
Yeah, thankfully the solution for that was a fundamental change in JavaScript itself,
mm-hmm.
moving to promises and async await.
Yeah.
It just makes scheduling things on the event loop so much cleaner.
And for memory leaks?
A lot of the time that comes down to things like event listeners that never get cleaned up. They just hang around holding on to objects that should have been garbage collected. You really have to use tools like Node's built-in heap profiler to hunt those down.
So let's tie this all back to threading. We have to clear up the classic confusion. Is Node.js single-threaded or not?
It's such a great question because the answer is, well, yes and no. It's nuanced.
Right.
The event loop itself, the JavaScript part that V8 is running, that happens on one single thread. But, and this is the key, Node.js isn't threadless. It uses a library called libuv that manages a separate thread pool in the background.
And that's where the heavy lifting happens, the I/O.
Exactly. Things like reading a file or making a database query. Those blocking operations are handed off to the thread pool, which often uses the OS kernel itself. This keeps the main event loop completely free and non-blocking.
Which also explains the difference from the browser. In a browser, the event loop is all about the UI, right? Clicks, keyboard input, rendering.
Totally. It's tied to the user. In Node, the focus is pure backend I/O. Files, network requests. That's why you have built-in modules like Fs and HTTP that you just never find in a browser.
So we've basically established that this combination of V8 and the event loop is this incredibly powerful foundation for building scalable, high concurrency apps.
No question, it's a powerhouse.
Okay, so here's a final thought for you to take away. Given what we've said, that the Node.js event loop prioritizes microtasks, meaning promises, to run immediately, sometimes even delaying important I/O callbacks, how might that internal priority system change your design choices when you're building a really critical application that depends heavily on both, say, persistent network connections and immediate file system writes? Something for you to explore further.